Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is a Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious. That ball was on the line.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, back on the Dave Sinclair Lincoln at Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby until 10 o'clock tonight. Going to talk a little football this hour. Thank you to Barry Deitch and Dan Reardon for coming by in the 7 o'clock hour. Mizzou making a big change as DeMonte Cross, the defensive coordinator, fired by head coach Barry Odom.
This has absolutely zero to do with on the field performance or non-performance. More to do with philosophical differences would be the biggest deciding factor in making the move. Yeah, you look at the timing and you know the timing is I don't know if you ever can say it's the right time or the wrong time. I know that the staff that we have in place, I'm confident that we can go do what we need to do in order to give ourselves a chance to be successful. And they don't put a watch when you make a decision. You know, when you're presented with the things you got to do to move your program forward, and that's where we're at.
It's Mizzou head coach Barry Odom after the loss to South Carolina over the weekend and the dismissal of defensive coordinator DeMonte Cross. We'll break it all down. The LandryFootball.com report with Chris Landry next on KMOX. Kick off the home opener for the 2017-18 Blues season with KMOX, the first ever Blue Note 5K, Saturday, October 7th at 9 a.m. in Forest Park. Registration just $35, and a portion of the proceeds goes to Blues for Kids. All your details at KMOX.com.
This is the Dave Sinclair Lincoln & Ford Sports Open Line.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Great to have Chris Landry back with us for another edition of the LandryFootball.com report here on KMOX. The website is LandryFootball.com. He's done it all. And now he joins us weekly right here on Sports Open Line. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Chris, I am doing well, buddy. Good to be with you again talking some football.
Well, it's great to have you with us again. You guys are continuing to do some incredible work, Chris. You did it last year with the Baton Rouge flooding. This year, again, you're sending 50% of subscription fees to help flood relief victims in Houston. Also now in Florida, the Cajun Navy, you guys are just getting all sorts of supplies that I'm sure we overlook on a daily basis that people need. And folks can sign up at LandryFootball.com right now. 50% of the subscription cost is going to the flood relief victims. LandryFootball.com. Give us an update. How's everything going? How's the hard work going? And what has the support been like so far?
Well, it's been good. We certainly appreciate everybody reaching out. And the folks are strong and sending trucks every day. The only thing now is we'll be sending them now west and east. As you mentioned, the storm hitting Florida. It's just such a tough time of year. And to have this happen to two different communities, big communities, and a tough storm. So there's a lot that goes on. And I always fear, Chris, that once it gets out of the news, you know, once the storm hits and once they report on it, then people forget about those folks. And I can tell you that just from last year, we didn't have a hurricane. It was just flood waters. And we have people that are still not in their homes. And I know what's going to happen all the way up to Jacksonville, which is, you know, almost in Georgia. The flooding there is unprecedented. It's just a very difficult time, and it's just a little way to try to help. And, for folks that are football fans and want to enjoy their football season a little better, we can do that for them, and it's something that we're also offering to do to help those in need.
The website is LandryFootball.com, LandryFootball.com. Go and sign up right now, and you can help make a difference. 50% of the subscription fees are going to help the flood victims. And what a cool thing that you're doing, Chris, and the Cajun Navy as well. So go to LandryFootball.com right now. You can get the fantastic website and also help make a difference. Well, let's start in college, unfortunately. And the Missouri Tigers lose and lose badly to South Carolina. The offense an issue, the special teams an issue. And today, Barry Odom announces that DeMonte Cross, the defensive coordinator, has been fired. Said that it wasn't anything on the field. Explain a decision like this right now, Chris. Obviously, DeMonte had been stripped of play calling duties. He was sitting up in the press box with the GAs. He was coaching the linebackers or the middle linebacker in the scheme that Mizzou plays. And just, I think, still seems like a bit of odd timing. So explain what goes into a decision like this right now.
Well, listen, it falls on the feet of the head coach. The head coach put him in a position of authority and felt it didn't work out, demoted him in essence. Obviously, things were not going well from a meshing, a team organization continuity standpoint, so it led to this decision. You never want to do that. It never helps you when you do it because it stresses the rest of the staff out even more with work, but it was something he felt he needed to do. You know, Barry's in a tough spot. He's the head coach, but he's the defensive guy, and his defense is non-existent there. And I think he showed that, you know, that he hasn't done a very good job with this defense, nor has he done a good job as a head coach managing, picking his staff and managing it. So it's a concern. Fortunately for them, they've got a good offensive coordinator. That's a strength. But I think this is going to be a tough season for Mizzou. I think that there's always a chance for a win or two here or there, outscoring people. But there's not a very good football team. I feared it going into the season, and it is just coming to fruition now. They're not going to be able to stop anybody, and you have to wonder, can they build a program that can sustain? I think, Chris, and I'm afraid a little bit, that there's you know, a little bit of belief after the strong run that they had getting into the conference that the feeling was, yeah, Mizzou, they can compete in the SEC. And well, they can, but they certainly can't do it the way they're doing it. And they had success while the Floridas and the Georgias and the Tennessees were really struggling. But when those programs are doing well, and then you can even throw South Carolina, who's not those top three programs, but below them, I mean, Missouri's pretty much looking up at everybody in the SEC. That's going to have to change. It's going to have to change in recruiting. And right now the talent level doesn't look SEC-like.
Demaurier Crockett actually had a nice first half. I thought the offensive line was pretty good, but then he bruises his tailbone, only gets two carries in the second half, wasn't able to go. I wonder, with the offensive line they've had, and they do have right now, with the struggles Drew Locke has had in the SEC, can you shift focus and try to rally around the running game a little bit, Chris, and maybe that can get you going a bit?
Well, they're not built for that, but I think in order to protect their defense, they're going to have to do some of that. I mean, I hate to put it this way. I don't want to stereotype, but they look like a Big 12 offense that has to be able to outscore people and score 45 a game. And then when you play better defenses that can stuff that a little bit, they've got no answer because they are not a good line of scrimmage team. And so, you know, I think that in order, if they can run the football more effectively, it's going to keep opposing offenses off the field and, more importantly, keep their defense off the field and fresher and maybe give themselves a chance in games. I look at, for example, South Carolina by comparison with Will Muschamp. It's building a, you know, it's a young defense. It's not there yet, but you see how much better they are defensively just in terms of scheme, coaching. They've got a few players, not what he's recruiting at a very high level, so they're going to only get better. And then he's got an outstanding quarterback. Well, Mizzou's got an outstanding quarterback. They've got an offense, but defensively they don't have any answers. And when they made a couple of their runs and obviously got to the SEC championship game, they had some difference-making players on the defensive line. Barry decided to make some changes, quite frankly, with one of the best defensive line coaches in the country. And the defense under Barry hasn't been nearly that good. And that all falls on him. And ultimately, he'll probably pay for it with his job down the road.
Explain to me how in the world, and I talked to myself last week, Chris, because of the number, I always like to look at Vegas, even if I am not wagering on the game. And, you know, I did not. But even when I have doubts or I'm biased, I say, all right, Mizzou's a 3.5-point favorite over South Carolina. The line hasn't moved. It appears that that's, you know, that's what the professionals think. They got killed. How in the world is Mizzou a 7.5-point favorite over a Purdue team that's looked competent the first couple weeks? They hung with Louisville.
Yeah, they have, and Jeff Brohm has done a pretty good job with that offense. I think the answer is, while we can talk about Missouri's problems, Purdue is in a real rebuilding program. I think this, you know this, Chris, that the betting line is public perception. It's not who's better. I mean, South Carolina was so much better than Missouri, and I thought that before the game.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought they'd win by 10, 13. I mean, you know, there's a big difference. I do think that Missouri's very capable from a roster standpoint of beating Purdue. I mean, that's a game they should win. But you're right. With their ability on defense or lack thereof, nothing's a guarantee. And, you know, I thought Purdue played pretty well against Louisville the first week. And scoring 28 points. And again, Louisville's not a very good defense. But no, I'm with you. I think that, you know, it's maybe a little bit high, but I do expect Missouri to win this game against a very, you know, this is the first year Jeff Rum is trying to rebuild this. So if Barry doesn't win this type of a game, this really is a sign that the program is, I mean, I think we know it's, at this point, it's not heading in the right direction. But then you start to wonder, okay, can he rally it around? Can he fix it? Because that's his job, and that's what these decisions are about, is can you fix it? We know it's not working, but what can you do? And the fix is not a quick fix. It's going to come with successive recruiting years that are SEC-like. That's something they've not done, not even close to it.
Well, you've got to get this one against Purdue, because looking at the schedule, if you're going to get bowl eligible, if you're Barry Odom, and if you don't, there's going to be a lot of heat, I think, right or wrong.
Yeah.
After Purdue, the home games are Idaho, a throwaway on homecoming, but Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, those are three ranked teams. And then you're on the road for Georgia, but also Kentucky and Vanderbilt, and then Arkansas. So I don't know where the wins are going to come from if they don't start this weekend. And if you don't get drastically better, I could see them being competitive against Kentucky, against Vanderbilt.
Sure.
But again, that's a bear of a schedule considering how the home road shakes out.
Well, you're right. And the only wins are going to come amongst those games if one of those teams really just shoots themselves in the leg. I mean, turns the football over. Missouri's got an offense that if they can get an early lead, you could see something happening. But there's no question Vanderbilt's a better team, a better program. Arkansas struggling, but they are a better team in the program. No doubt Tennessee and Florida is. You know, UConn, again, Randy Edson. I mean, there's not like Kentucky struggled against Eastern Kentucky, made a ton of mistakes last week, but managed to come back and win it. You're right. There's not a lot of wins on their schedule. They've got one against Missouri State. This Purdue win is vital for it to have any chance of sniffing a ball.
Chris Landry is with us. LandryFootball.com is the website. LandryFootball.com is where you go, and you can absolutely help the flood victims in both Houston and Florida by signing up for a subscription, because 50% of the subscription fee will go to help the flood victims. Again, that's LandryFootball.com. We'll see Georgia in a bit. How impressive was the effort by Kirby Smart and company in South Bend? And my goodness, Brian Kelly going off the rails, losing it with a reporter post-game. I've got a bunch of friends that are Notre Dame fans, and especially after that week one effort, not necessarily the happiest or most comfortable of times in South Bend right now, it appears, Chris.
No, it hadn't. It's been a pattern of losing close games. Brian has been frustrated. He went from a hot coach that, you know, went unbeaten, went to a national championship game and did it and felt like, hot guy, and what NFL job is going to be at his beck and call, and, you know, trying to get the administration to loosen up some of the restrictions to get players, because he, you know, I remember him telling me, and he was right, that when he got off the bus and they got off for warm-ups against that Alabama game, it was like, what are we even doing here? I mean, this is not, we don't even
it's
look
like a different
like
sport. Yeah.
No, we don't even look like those guys. I mean, and it's true. And so that's an issue. Notre Dame's talent is good. It's not elite. It's not what we think of with the Notre Dame. They don't get top 10 talent. They don't get what the Florida States, the Clemsons, the upper echelon of the SEC gets. They don't get them. And yet, you know, they play a schedule that's very difficult. So it is a problem there. Georgia, I think Kirby Smart is building a mini Alabama-type defense. They are really good. Now, they're not there yet because they don't have the depth. So I don't know if they can continue it throughout the year. But they are really good, and they are very well coached, and they are physical. They're not there on offense. They've got a young quarterback in Fromm who made some mistakes but showed poise after those mistakes. Their offensive line is not very good. They dropped some key balls. Georgia really – I broke down the tape this morning, Chris. They really outplayed Notre Dame, and I was watching the game. It looked that way. But sometimes when you break down the coaching tape, you see some things. They really dominated Notre Dame in a lot of respects, but they made a ton of mistakes, that's going to cost them games if they don't clean them up. But I see the problem with Georgia is the offensive line, and as it relates to the consistency of running the football, that could be what jumps up and gets them. But they're really good, and I think this Georgia program, that they are the most prominent or the most encouraging-looking team in the East. As Jim McElwain's trying to figure out the offense, he's been there longer at Florida. We know Butch Jones is under some heat in Tennessee. Love what Will Muschamp is doing. So ironically, it's Will and Kirby, both teammates together at Georgia back in the day. They've got their programs in the right direction, and Georgia, I think, is going to be really good. And again, you know, as it relates to Missouri playing them, Georgia, it's going to be awfully tough. They would do a good job, but Missouri's going to try to you know, spread them and dink and dunk them and try to attack them deep. But this Missouri, this Georgia team's pretty good.
Well, and with those two running backs as well and the defense they have, you can afford to kind of go through some growing pains with your quarterback position, right?
Yeah, exactly. They felt like, as a coaching staff, that they couldn't run consistently against Notre Dame. But against a Missouri, they'll run the football right down their throat, and they'll have a lot of success against a lot of teams that are not as good. And that is exactly right. They want to be able to kind of shorten the game and take the pressure off the young quarterback. They've got two young quarterbacks, but the one that's starting now, Fromm, is they've got to develop the passing game a little bit more. But pass protection has been an issue. They had not recruited very well on the offensive line under Mark Richt. It's showing now. Kirby is recruiting very well, but those guys are in high school or in their early years and not ready to play yet.
All right, Chris Landry, it's the LandryFootball.com report. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Little NFL next as we talk football with our guy Chris Landry on KMOX.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball.
Now, back to the Dave Sinclair Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line.
We couldn't complete a pass. We suck.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Chris Landry with us. LandryFootball.com is the website. LandryFootball.com. If you sign up right now, you will help support the flood victims in both Houston and Florida because 50% of your subscription cost will go to providing them with some really, really just basic supplies. And Chris and his staff are doing a great job. So go to LandryFootball.com. LandryFootball.com. You heard it on 98.1 HD3 last Thursday night. The Kansas City Chiefs stunning the Patriots 42-27. What a rout in the second half. I know it seems like maybe ages ago because it was the first game on Thursday, Chris, but as you have broken this one down, what in the world did the Chiefs do in the second half? What did the Patriots not do in the second half? The Belichick-Brady era, you don't see them lose at home when they're leading at halftime.
No, you don't. And, you know, a couple of years ago, Kansas City throttled New England. But this was – I just couldn't see this coming, as you mentioned, at home. And the success rate of teams that are, you know, opening up the season as Super Bowl champions at home and all the emotion, I just would have bet anything that New England was going to win this game. But, you know, I always remember in conversations and work I've done with Bill Belichick that – they're two guys that always gave him trouble, gave his defenses trouble, Mike Shanahan and Andy Reid. Andy Reid did a great job offensively. The Patriots are going to take away Kelsey, take away the perimeter receivers, and they just were not prepared to focus as much attention on Kareem Hunt. And I thought, you know, Kansas City believes in running the football. They know how to work the short passing game to augment the running game, and they did that extremely well. Alex Smith was outstanding. It seemed like that was his response to, okay, they drafted my replacement. That's fine. I'm gonna make sure I'm in the league somewhere next year if I'm not here in Kansas City. What a game he played. But defensively was the key. You know, to beat Brady, you can't blitz him because then he'll beat you with the vacated spots in coverage. You can't drop in coverage and give him time to throw because he will buy time and guys will come open and he'll find them. You've got to get good base pressure. Kansas City could not get pressure early, and they even dropped back into three-man pressures because they couldn't get it done. Well, they did a really good job adjusting in the second half with some of their pressures, some five-man pressures, but a lot of four-man pressures. And what they did is took away the middle of the field and forced the ball outside the numbers above 20, 25 yards, which is what you have to do to beat Brady. It's easier said than done. I mean, but that's what you've got to do. Get home with base pressure and not allow the routes to progress to where he can beat you. And they did a very good job with that and got him off sorts. The receivers couldn't get open. And a game like this is probably where, in the early part of the season, where they miss Edelman a lot because he's maybe finding a way to get open, and all of a sudden they're staying on the field a little more, and maybe it's different. But I thought this was a positive sign for Kansas City. I think it's going to be an outstanding, fun two-team race between them and the Chiefs in the West. But I wouldn't shed a tear for the Patriots. I still think they probably are going to have a gaudy 14-2, 13-3 type of record. I think that they're not going to fall away into an oblivion like remember the last time the Chiefs beat them a few years ago. Oh, well, you know, Belichick's lost it. Brady's lost it. No, I don't see that happening.
I know that Kareem Hunt was a hot fantasy pickup after Spencer Ware went down with the injury, but he looked like the real deal, Chris.
He did. Came out of Toledo, very productive runner in a max, got good vision, good balance. He's got the ability to jump cut, slide through the hole, but he runs with good power and balance, and he's got underrated speed and quickness, can do things out of the backfield. They like him. They like him a lot, and I think he's going to have a huge impact for him this year.
Maybe Super Bowl hangover on both sides. I know it's cliche, but were you surprised the Chicago Bears had an opportunity first and goal from the 5 before they ripped my heart out to beat the Atlanta Falcons yesterday?
Yeah, thinking about you. Yeah, I'm surprised that they had a chance to win it late, but I thought the Bears would play well. I really did. At home, you know, I think this is a team that's going to play well defensively, play hard. I don't know how long that's going to last all year long because of their depth. But, yeah, whether it's hangover, the Falcons just were not real sharp, but managed to get it done. I think that defensively, boy, did they step up. They didn't do a very good job against the Bears in certain situations, but down the stretch, they made 4 big-time plays late to salt the game away. And, the issue I see with Chicago, and this is a perfect example, that's a game – probably should have won. They're not able. Glennon did not play poorly at all, but the slow release, hurts them, and I thought it hurt them late. And then obviously they dropped some balls that, you know, they're getting in the end zone if they catch it for them. So that was tough. And quite frankly, you look at it and you say, that's the type of game you get done. You look at it and you say, you know what? That's what makes the good teams good. And the teams that are not so good and not playoff caliber teams, you know, what they are, because the good teams find a way to win even when they don't play their best, and some teams just fall short, and that's unfortunately where the Bears are now.
Ezekiel Elliott did play last night and did a great game, 24 carries, 104 yards. Cowboys beating up on the Giants with no Odell Beckham Jr., 19-3 the final. Were you surprised by the ruling for Elliott? What are you hearing, Chris? Do you expect a suspension for the St. Louis product at any time this season?
I am confused and have no answers as to what is going on legally. I mean, I get it. I mean, I understand what's going on, but I don't quite get it in that, you know, none of us know what happened, first of all. But, you know, you could see, and listen, if they believe they were wronged and they did not get a fair hearing, you know, they're within their rights to do it. But, I mean, I don't know what to think anymore. Now, you know, looks like now he's going to be available for the entire year, and we'll see where the appeal process and where the NFL legal team comes in on it. It's confusing because at this point, you, at least for me, I just listen to what the legal people say, and some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't make sense, and I just don't know, you know. But I can tell you this, with him, they're a much better team. Yes, they've got a good offensive line, but like a good pass protection offensive line, with a great quarterback versus an average quarterback, there's a lot more damage can be done with a great one. And this kid's a great running back. His jump cut ability, and I'm sure you watched the game. I've not seen a guy in a while that is as effective going from the front side C gap to the backside B gap in like one move. It's just phenomenal what he's been able to do. And he's a special back behind a special offensive line.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on. And, you know, it's a horrible situation because you don't want to lose sight of the fact that the stuff he's alleged to have done is despicable. But it's really head-scratching how the NFL and the league office and the commissioner handle some of these situations, Chris.
Well, it is, and it's certainly the time that it takes to render a decision is sometimes frustrating. And again, you don't know what information they're getting. They do not have to follow the legal recourse. I mean, in other words, if it doesn't rise to the level of a conviction, it doesn't mean he can't be suspended. So they feel like he did something that warrants suspension. But there's some, apparently, from what I've been told, that they put a lot into the testimony of the young lady, which is understandable, but the Cowboys side, Zeke Elliott's side, feel that there's a lot of holes to that. So, and again, obviously we don't know. It's not like watching a trial on TV where you got some details and information. It's second, third hand. I think that it is probably frustrating for a lot of people to hear it. Well, he's available. He's not available. He's available. But it looks like he's probably available for the year, but stay tuned on that.
Chris, finally got to ask you about the Rams. Not necessarily their blowout win against a Colts team that just was almost impressively bad. There was nobody at that game. There was no one at that game. And I just wonder if this is going to be – I know they'll have the new stadium in a couple of years, but could this be an issue for the NFL over the next year or two if one of the teams that they relocated in the biggest market in the country – has a stadium for their 8 home games that is at about, it appeared, 30 to 35% capacity?
Well, I think that attendance in Los Angeles was always and will always be an issue. Obviously, they took that into consideration. How important is it? I don't know. I think that, like in most cases, they're going to have to rely on corporations.
And they will with the new luxury boxes, the new stadium. It'll be a place to be.
But, you know, in terms of the walk-up crowds, I mean, you know how that is. I mean, if the weather's nice, and it usually is, they may decide, go to the Rams game. No, let's go to the beach. I mean, it's like that. I mean, to some degree, and this is the only thing we can go on in recent years, you know, USC has a really good fan base from its core group, but they don't have a lot of people that just, go. And, there's a few people that win in the Pete Carroll years, and I think some will go this year. But it is not a great atmosphere, and I think it'll be a problem for both the Chargers and the Rams in terms of walk-up. But, obviously, the money is that they figured it out, that financially, that's all they care about. And, if they don't win and win big, they're going to be in trouble. Now, it was a good performance, and you see what a good quarterback coach can do and how they put some talent around them. But you just hit it. Boy, the Colts without Andrew Luck they're Jets bad. They really are bad.
Do you think Andrew Luck, if he's available in a fantasy league, is worth picking up and stashing on your roster until he's ready to come back? I just don't know if anyone knows when he's going to come back.
No, I am concerned about him coming back, and coming back if he does, how effective will he be this year? You know, we're talking about a guy that hadn't thrown in a long time. It's hard for me to believe that he's going to go through a season and be productive this year. And I think there is a chance out there that he's not going to play this year. There is some thought about that. I don't know how realistic, whatnot. But I can tell you this, they're not going to rush him, and they're going to sacrifice the season if they have to make sure, because he is their franchise. He was drafted a Colt. He will retire as a Colt, so they're not going to worry about 1 year. They know that he has been beaten up repeatedly since he's been in the league, and they're going to make sure that he's healthy and then make sure again and again. So I don't know that I would be a little concerned about I'd probably go somewhere else with the hopes of my fantasy team, because I just don't know if I can trust him being back.
Well, you can get all the information, the game tape, and everything you need in the college game, the NFL, fantasy. It's at LandryFootball.com, LandryFootball.com. And this is the LandryFootball.com report. And, again, just an incredible thing that Chris and his staff are doing, with 50% of subscription fees going to help flood victims in both Houston and Florida. Chris, if folks hop on tonight and they sign up for the website, what are they going to find?
Well, they're going to get all the film breakdowns of the NFL game, the college weekend games. We take you inside the film room, tell you what happened, why it happened, kind of where the programs are, how they look. And then, obviously, we provide you with a daily notebook in college and the NFL every day, what's going on. And then we begin to break down this upcoming week's games. And if it involves players, teams, coaches, schemes, we provide it for you. Every week, in addition to the college game breakdowns and the NFL game breakdowns, we provide you draft prospects to watch in any number of games. We provide you an updated draft board every week. So we keep you up to date on everything football on all levels all year round.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, the website. Again, congratulations on all the hard work that you guys are doing to help the flood victims. I hope folks go and sign up at LandryFootball.com right now. Have a great rest of the week, Chris, and we will talk to you next week. Appreciate it, my friend.
Look forward to it, Chris. Thank you so much.
All right, that's Chris Landry. And again, what cool stuff they're doing to try and help the flood victims. Let's take a break. We will be back to wrap up this 8 o'clock hour, the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Rabia with you. We're hanging out until 10, and we're back after this on KMOX.
Very first thing in the morning, I like to know what's going on when I start my day.
Then you need Total Information AM in your morning.
I like to know what went on overnight when I was sleeping.
News.
The national and local news in the morning.
Weather.
I definitely have to know the forecast.
Traffic.
Just to make sure there's no accidents.
Sports. We're big sports fans.
Get all the information you need in your morning.
U.S. news, world news.
Local news.
Weather.
Traffic.
All the sports.
With Total Information AM.
I have it on during breakfast.
Only on KMOX. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. Get the latest from the Cardinals from manager Mike Matheny on the Safe Odds GM Country Mike Matheny Show. Sundays at 10:15, exclusively on your home for best Cardinals coverage, KMOX.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
The Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line continues.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
On KMOX.
All right, 3 hours in the books, so 1 hour to go on the Dave Sinclair, Lincoln and Ford Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you. Thank you to Chris Landry. Go and sign up, LandryFootball.com. What an amazing thing they're doing to help flood victims. Tom Ackerman's got a pretty amazing story coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll have that for you at 9:15. You won't want to miss this, trust me. 3 hours down, 1 hour to go on Sports Open Line at Game Wings.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.